Now, this is King David speaking with Jonathan. Jonathan's father, Saul, was wanting to kill David. And Jonathan and David make a covenant. They make a promise to one another. 1 Samuel 20, verse 11. Jonathan said unto David, "Come, let us go out into the field." And they went out, both of them, into the field. And Jonathan said unto David, "O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow," talk to his father about what his plans were, "any time or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and I then send not unto thee and show it thee, the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan." He's making a covenant here before God with David. "But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show." He says, "Then I will send thee away, and thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee, as he hath been with my father. And thou shalt not only, while yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not." This is Jonathan speaking. He said, I'm gonna deliver you, David. And he said, "And you not only show me kindness, that I die not, but also," verse 15, "thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies." And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own soul. Now, let's turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. Now, David has ascended to the throne. He's the king now in Israel. And David asked a question. 2 Samuel 9, verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now, this is the first thing that we see. The grace that comes to a sinner and saves the sinner effectually is the grace of God shown to sinners for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. David here is a type of God the Father, and Jonathan's a picture of Christ in many ways right here. And God the Father seeks to show mercy for the sake of his Son, the sake of the Lord Jesus. Christ made a covenant promise with God the Father in eternity before the world began to come and to honor him and to glorify him and to save his people from all their sins. And the Father entered in covenant to call them out, call them to his throne of grace, to Christ Jesus the Lord, for the Lord's sake. And so we see here, David said, "Is there yet any that's left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Look over at Ephesians chapter 4. How would you place here? Ephesians chapter 4. The Lord Jesus came and he fulfilled everything that he promised to the Father. This is the character of God's at stake here. The holiness of God. God entrusting the salvation of his people into the hands of his Son. Just as that covenant was made between David and Jonathan. And Christ came and fulfilled all he promised the Father. Magnified the Father. Magnified the Word of God. The Lord Jesus paid the wages of sin, which are death. He justified all those for whom he died. Cleared them completely. And now, God is just for Christ's sake, because of the sake of Christ, and for his sake, he's just to show mercy to all of Christ's sons, all of the sons of God. Look at Ephesians 4 and let's begin in verse 31. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from among you with all malice. Paul is speaking to those believers in the church at Ephesus. And he said, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's what David did there. We see grace coming for the sake of another, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why grace comes. Grace is free. Grace is free. All right, now let's go back. 2 Samuel 9, verse 2. And let's see a description of those sinners for whom Christ died who were saved by this grace. 2 Samuel 9, verse 2. And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. 2 Samuel 9, 2. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? You see, that's what we're talking about, the kindness of God. And I might show the kindness of God unto him. And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son. Jonathan has a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. Now, we have some indications here, some descriptions of the sinner that God saved by that grace for the sake of Christ, the kindness that God shows. This man was lame on his feet. He was lame on his feet. He became lame on his feet when he was fleeing. When he was a child, his nurse was fleeing from for fear, fleeing away from the king for fear and fail, and he was injured. That's what happened to us. We went away from God, from the sole of the foot, from the head, even to the head. There's no soundness in it. From the foot to the head, no soundness. We're lame on our feet. How lame? We can't come to God. How lame? We don't know God. How lame? We can't enter into who He is. How lame are we? Dead. Dead in trespasses and sin. He's in the house of Maker. And this means sold under sin. Sold. Sold. That's what we were. Sold under sin. Romans 7:14 says, "We know not that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." That's what you and I are, born into this world. He was in Lodibar. That means a place of no pasture, no cattle, no place for food, no place to find water and bread. That's what this world is. This world is a place of no pasture. This world's going to give you no lasting food, no lasting bread. It's just not. It's not going to. This is a place of no pasture. And his name, this man's name was Mephibosheth. It means shameful, shameful thing. That's what his name means. Now we, you and I, every one of us sitting here right now, this is for certain, every one of us sitting here, we can all lay claim to this name. This is what we are, the shameful thing in ourselves. This is what we are. Sin is the shameful thing. Whenever the Scriptures tells us that to look to Christ Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, this is what He despised. He despised the shame that He was made in behalf of His people to put away our sin. This is what had to happen in order for God to remain just and justify a sinner. This man's case, his case and his condition, it's the case of every sinner born in Adam. This is our case. This is our situation. This is where we are, lame in sin, fleeing from God, a shameful thing, in a place of no pasture. Can you say that about yourself? Can you say that's me? That is me. Most of us don't think that about ourselves. But that's us. That's us. Our iniquity separated us from God. That He wouldn't hear us. Now, let's see how then We got a God now that is going to be gracious to those He gave to His Son. He's going to be gracious to them because Christ has justified them. And yet we got these sinners who are absolutely lame on their feet, shameful things in themselves that can't come to Him. How then is God going to get them to Christ? How are He going to get them to come and bow down and enter into this good news that God has accomplished for them in His Son? How's that going to happen? Look at 2 Samuel 9:5. 2 Samuel 9:5. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel from Lodibar. He sent and fetched him. This is what God's going to do for every sinner He has that He put in Christ, that Christ has redeemed. He's going to send for him. He's going to send. Like this, David sent Ziba. God's going to send forth the Spirit of God. He's going to send forth in all His providential dealings to make that man come and have his path crossed with the gospel that Christ sends. He's going to have him crossed with the gospel. Look up the gospel of truth. Look it up. Just go home, get your concordance, and look up the gospel of truth. And see how many times you find out the importance of the gospel of truth. The gospel of truth. The gospel's good news. Only the gospel is good news. A false gospel is not good news. If it leaves something in the hands of Mephibosheth, won't be good news at all. He can't get to David. He's lame. David didn't, as Brother Jack Shanks said, David didn't send him a pair of crutches and say, "Now, see if you can make it up here to me." That's not what he did. Not what he did at all. He sent and fetched him out. Look at John. I'm sorry, let's look at Psalm 65. Psalm 65. He's bringing this man into the king's court. Into the king's court. And he's bringing him in to him. That's what God does for a sinner. He's bringing his children to him. Look at Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed, happy is the man whom thou choosest, whom God chooses, and causes to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. That's when we're going to be satisfied with God. That's when we're going to be satisfied with His gospel. That's when we're going to be satisfied with His bread. That's going to be when we're going to be satisfied with His Son. But it's not going to be till then. It won't be till then. If we brought ourselves, we won't be satisfied. We won't have peace. We won't have rest. If we try to bring ourselves somehow, we'll still be lame on our feet. Trying to do something you can't do. Trying to crawl where you can't crawl. Trying to get into a place you can't get into. Then he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. That's when the Lord said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I'll raise him up." I'll raise him up. That's how this man was sought. That's he was sent for and fetched out of that place. Alright, now, we've seen the grace of God. It's for Christ's sake. It's for the sake of His Son that God does this work. The second thing we've seen here is God sends this good news to His child. And He sends forth the Spirit of God and regenerates that child and gives him life and gives him ears and eyes and a heart of faith to know what God's done for him and causes him to approach unto Him, fetches him out of his sin and rebellion where he is and his deadness and brings him to Him. Now, we've seen what a sinner is. We've seen how dead a sinner is. Now let's see the joy when a sinner is brought like this to meet the King, to meet God who's done all this freely on His behalf. Let's see the joy. He said that we'll be satisfied with the goodness of His house and we'll be blessed, we'll be happy, we'll be rejoicing. Then, let's see it. Verse 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David. That's what we are. Saul was wicked. We're the son of Saul. son of, we fell in Adam, and we fell into wickedness in him. But thanks be to God's grace, we're the sons of Christ, sons of Jonathan. All right, now, he was come unto David. He fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. Whenever this grace comes and a sinner is brought like this to the king, that's what he's going to do. He's going to fall on his face. You ever notice in the scripture, you see that so over and over in the scriptures? Whenever this word comes to somebody that's not a child of God's grace and they hear it, they fall down backwards. Whenever it's somebody that God's chosen and put in Christ and redeemed, they fall down on their face. They fall on their face before Him. It's the difference between it coming in grace and it coming in judgment. It's the difference between it coming in grace and giving a new heart and it coming and hardening the hardness of that heart that's already there. Now, he fell on his face and he did reverence the king. He answered, Behold thy servant. What else was he going to answer? What else is he going to answer? I mean, the king's done everything for him. The king did all for him. What else is he going to answer? Behold, I'm your servant. But look at that good news given to this man. Verse 7, And David said unto him, Fear not. Don't fear. He was afraid. When God first calls you, it's going to cause some fear. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's going to cause you to tremble. This is God we're talking about. We haven't presented to you any cunningly devised fables. We're talking about God of heaven and earth here. And David said, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness. Oh, look at this. He says it again. For Jonathan, thy father's sake. I'm doing this for not your first father's sake. I'm doing this for the last father's sake, for Jonathan's sake. That's what this mercy comes for, Christ's sake, the last Adam. He says, And I'll restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Now here's the first thing he told him, Fear not. Oh, you can imagine the fear this man had. He's brought to the king. I mean, you think about it. If you were called to meet the President of the United States, you'd have some... I mean, that's an awesome thing. Well, here he's brought before the king. This is what's going to happen. We're brought before the king, Jesus, king, our Christ and our king. We're going to be made to bow. But he says to us, Fear not. That's what he says to those that come to him. Fear not. And then he said this, look, in verse 7, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan's sake. You see, this is a sure showing of kindness. If it's in Christ and it's for Christ's sake, it's by the grace of God, it's going to be sure. This is something you can count on that's certain and sure. This is sure. Absolutely sure. The blood of Christ demands it for God to remain holy. The blood of Christ remains it. His blood ensures the kindness of God to those who sin Christ put away. He says, then thirdly, look what he said to him. He said, I will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father. You know what happens whenever we're called by his grace? We come to the Father and he makes us to see that in Christ and for the sake of Christ, he restores to us everything that we lost in Adam. Everything we lost in Adam. We lost everything in it. We lost communion with God in Adam. He restores that to us. He restores that to us. Recreated after the image of God. Born after the image of God. Born again. Born anew by the incorruptible seed of God. The very essential word, Christ in you. And look, he says, this is the fourth thing he says to him. Thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Continually. I'm going to feed you Christ the bread forever. You know when David said he made this everlasting covenant with me and ordered in all things ensured. And he said, this is what I know. This is all my salvation. This has been, David said, and David was talking about from the first hour that he made me to know he had called me all the way to the last. David said, this has been all my salvation. And David said, I've never seen his seed begging bread. Never seen the righteous forsaken. Never seen his seed begging bread. I've seen, and we read in the scripture, of some poor times among the Lord's people, where there was some physical bread that was lacking. But God always provided bread enough for His people. But He always provides bread, this bread of Christ Jesus. He will never take Christ from His people. We're going to have Christ in this good news. All right, now, look at the amazement of this child. Look at the amazement of a child of God. Verse 8. And he bowed himself, Mephibosheth did, and he said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" You know, y'all know, I wasn't really excited about getting Peanut. I wasn't really in favor of getting Peanut. And one, I never thought I'd have a little frou-frou dog. And two, I never have had a dog in the house. And so somebody said, when you have a dog in a house, you live in a dog house. And I've never had one in the house. And but I think I have enjoyed him more than everybody else has. And you know what makes it easy to love him? He comes and he lays on my feet when I'm sitting during the day and I'm working. He'll come and get right under my desk right there and literally lay on my feet right there. It feels pretty good in the cold of winter for him to lay on my feet. And he just watches my every move. If I go upstairs, he follows me upstairs. If I come back downstairs, he follows me back downstairs. He's just watching. If I sit, if I eat, he sits by my side there and just sits down and looks at me, hoping I'll drop him a crumb, because I've let this secret out. I'm the only one in the house that's dropping crumbs to him. But this is what it's easy to love a faithful dog. That's what God makes His people. That's what God makes brethren. Faithful dogs. Faithful dogs. Well, it keeps getting better. Look at verse 9. 2 Samuel 9:9. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and he said unto him, "I've given unto thy master's son, to Mephibosheth, all that pertained to Saul and to all his house." Gave him all, they restored it all to him. "Thou therefore, and thy sons, and thy servants, shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, and that thy master's son may have food to eat." You know, we see a picture here of is the Holy Spirit and all the angels given that God has charge over, and all the sons and that are brethren of His children, and even those who are servants who don't know, maybe they don't know the king, but they're still serving him, even though they don't know they're serving him. But all of them are sent forth for this one reason, for that child of God's grace. To do what for him? To till the land for him, and to bring in fruits for him, that he may have food to eat. To do everything for the child of grace. You know, everything in this world is working. God's working it together on purpose for the good of those that He's called by His grace for Christ's sake and given this amazing new life in their heart and made them to become faithful dogs. He's doing this for those that believe on Him and trust Him. All on purpose, working everything together for their good. He says then, let me see where I'm at here. Verse 10, he says, now Ziba, look down at into verse 10. Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. He had a lot at his beck and call, and that's what God has at His call to help for His people. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." Look at that. "He's going to eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. They're all his servants. Well, look at Look at this last verse, verse 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. If you entered that room, let's go over to Romans 3. Romans 3. If you entered that room and you looked at Mephibosheth, and he's sitting there at the king's table, you know that's what the Lord said. He said, my people, he told his disciples, you're going to eat at my table in my kingdom. That's the picture we have of David here, Christ our King. You're going to eat at my table in my kingdom, and I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you. Well, if you came in and you saw this man lame on his feet, would you be able to tell while he's sitting there at that king's table that he's lame on his feet? You couldn't see his feet. They're under the table. They're under the king's table. You can't see them. Oh, he's lame. He's still lame. It's still there. He's still lame. But his lameness is covered over. What's that a picture of? Look here in Romans chapter 3. Justification from sin. Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Look at Romans 8, chapter 1. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that which are in Christ Jesus. Look over at Romans 8, verse 39. This is what it is. It's justification from sin. No condemnation. Inseparable love. Look at this. Romans 8:39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You notice how all this is in Christ Jesus our Lord? All of this is in Him? Look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. And look at verse 13. Ephesians 2:13. Why did he call him? He said, for Jonathan's sake. Look here. Now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. By what he's done. Can you imagine the joy that Mephibosheth had? Can you imagine that joy that he had? He just found out. This man just found out that everything is provided for him. Everything that is done, it's been, it's his. The king has announced his good news to him. Everything is for him at the king's order. Everything. Can you imagine the joy you'd have this morning if God sent forth the Holy Spirit and said, is there any more of the house of Christ that I might show kindness to them, the kindness of God, for Christ's sake? And he said, yeah, there's one. There's one. And the Spirit of God came and said, fetched you and brought you and told you all this news. You imagine the joy. Imagine the thrill and the delight you'd have with God, knowing what He's done for you. You wouldn't be an enemy of God anymore. You'd be a friend. You'd be reconciled. I hope that's what He'll do. You know what it makes a person do? It makes us say, Lord, what is it that You've shown Your servant such grace for just a dead dog like I am? We just sit amazed all our days, eating at His table, all for Jonathan's sake, for the sake of Christ. Amen.